Anyone ever cheated you the same way 10 times? How many times should Charlie Brown forgive Lucy for pulling away that football he's trying to kick? We might even wonder how many times God is willing to forgive us for doing the same thing over and over. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. All this week, we're giving away hundreds of free copies of Lonnie Melashenko's brand new broadcast book entitled Your Most Radical Decision. This is the complete radio series we're currently sharing with you, all 24 episodes plus plenty of additional material. We're eager to share this new book with you because it contains the very heartbeat, the how-to of the daily Christian life. Why not write to us today? We'll get a copy in the mail immediately. Here's the address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. If you prefer, you can call us at area code 616-473-3333. Now let's join Lonnie for today's message. 490 freebies.
I heard a fascinating guideline once that has to do with husbands and wives who are having an argument. Now, that's not really our topic today, but this little rule was very practical. Here it is. Stay in the present time. Complaints over 6 months old are not permissible. I have to admit I have never heard that statute of limitations put on a marriage argument before. 6 months, that is apparently the rule. Of course, with today being June 6, that means you must not go back farther than December 6, 1995 to dig up the stupid things your spouse has done to use as ammunition in a fight. It's perfectly acceptable to go back right up to the 6th of last December and find all the unexploded hand grenades you can, but that's the boundary. 6 months. Well, before you write to Box 55 and complain, let me assure you, friend, that this rule has been given out with tongue firmly planted in cheek. Most couples have plenty to argue about today without digging into the past to find more skeletons and rotten tomatoes to throw at each other. Forgiveness, not keeping score, is one of the most beautiful themes in the entire Bible, isn't it? And today, for a few moments, I'd like for us to consider some of Jesus' instructions to us regarding forgiveness, but for a completely different reason. In doing so, I believe we discover his own attitude about him forgiving us. Now, that's a different twist, isn't it? Probably we all remember the story in Matthew chapter 18 where Peter comes to Jesus and asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Good question, isn't it? And I'll just quickly observe that many of us have a great difficulty forgiving our brother or sister even one time when they do us an injury. But Peter is especially pleased with himself when he continues with his question, should I forgive up to 7 times? Thinking to himself that he was really going far beyond the limit. 3 was sometimes the expected number in those days. Here he had doubled that and even added a bonus, getting all the way up to 7, the perfect number. Imagine his surprise when he heard the answer from Jesus. I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Well, get out your calculators. That's 490. In other words, without limit, no matter how many times you're wrong, Jesus says, you need to forgive. 490 was really Jesus' way of saying, don't keep score. Over in Luke chapter 17, Jesus reiterates this same counsel in another way. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. It's interesting that the disciples immediately said, Lord, increase our faith. Maybe they sensed how incapable they were of forgiving each other 7 times in one day. The exciting Bible truth we want to uncover today is this. What Jesus is telling us to do is exactly what God himself does. God forgives unto 70 times 7. In other words, without number, God forgives your same foolish mistake, friend, 7 times in a single day. Morris Vanden, in his book, To Know God, A 5-Day Plan, makes this beautiful parallel. And I'm quoting, "If Jesus told us to forgive our brother 7 times in the same day, God would do no less. God would not ask us to do something that he was unwilling to do." Here we see that God's forgiveness is unlimited. Of course, Vanden, who's been out on the pastor's trail for many fruitful decades, knows what our human reaction to that is going to be. God forgives us without limit? Great! I can be a Christian and keep right on sinning. Drink a beer, have no fear. He won't get tired of my repenting over and over and over again. Maybe you'll remember that yesterday we spoke about what a dangerous and foolish attitude that is. That sooner or later, either our love for Jesus or our love for sin will triumph. One or the other will win. In the long term, serving two masters is not possible. But now, friend, the Bible points out another powerful truth, and it's found in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Maybe you've read the story where Jesus attended a feast at Simon's house, and Mary came in and anointed Jesus' feet. And Simon, who knew that Mary had made her living as a prostitute, thought to himself, "Oh, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Well, 2 seconds later, Jesus showed Simon just what kind of a prophet he really was by reading his mind. "Simon," he said, "I have a story to tell you." "Okay." And then Jesus told this Pharisee about a man who was forgiven a little debt and another man who was forgiven for a huge debt. "Now tell me," he said, "Simon, which one would love his master more?" Simon said, "Well, I guess the one who was forgiven more." "That's right," Jesus said. Now, friend, here we discover a powerful truth. People who are truly forgiven for a lot are grateful. They appreciate that forgiveness. They love the one who has forgiven them. Now, do people like that really want to presume upon that kindness and forgiveness and go out and sin more? Do they want to spit in the face of that forgiveness and treat it as something cheap? There's a beautiful booklet, unfortunately out of print now, written by the late Dr. Richard Niece, former chaplain and clinical psychologist. He discusses this idea of God's willingness to forgive and forgive and forgive and even forgive us before we're able to ask. But what next? Listen, I'm quoting. "Some people will protest. Doesn't that concept open up the floodgates to sin? Isn't it dangerous to know that when we are in Christ, we stand forgiven even before we ask? One of the wonderful things about my family that never ceases to amaze me is that they love me even when I do unloving things. And I've gotten to the place where I firmly believe that if tomorrow I became irritable to them, they wouldn't reject me. They'd still love me." Now notice what he says next. "Because I know this, because I'm convinced of it, do you think that it offers any occasion for my laxity? On the contrary, it is the very reason why I would be ashamed to do so. Because they are what they are, because they do love me in spite of myself when I do things that are wrong, I feel ashamed. Rather than opening up the floodgates to sin, it is as we see and fully understand God's love for us, the floodgates of sin close." Ah, friend, God loves you so much that his forgiveness toward you just keeps going and going and going. Doesn't that make you want to please him, to obey him? Our fourth Bible verse that rounds out this beautiful concept is found in John 14:15. We read this yesterday, and perhaps you've always seen this verse as a command or a heavenly order, but listen to it read as a wonderful promise. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, has some tremendous insights in this very area of Christian study. Consider this suggestion from his book, Mere Christianity, and I'm quoting, "Though our feelings come and go, his or God's love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore it is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever cost to us, at whatever cost to him." A little later on in a chapter entitled simply Faith, he talks about this idea of cheap grace or forgiveness and describes those who say this, and I'm quoting, "Faith is all that matters. Consequently, if you have faith, it doesn't matter what you do. Sin away, my lad, and have a good time, and Christ will see that it makes no difference in the end. The answer to that nonsense, he's rather blunt, isn't he? The answer to that nonsense is that if what you call your faith in Christ does not involve taking the slightest notice of what he says, then it is not faith at all. Not faith or trust in him, but only intellectual acceptance of some theory about him. Friend, you know something? I've experienced in my own life what Morris Vanden and C.S. Lewis and Dr. Niess are describing here. God has forgiven me for so much. Me, Lonnie Melashenko. I'm overwhelmed by the extent, the vastness, the ocean of his forgiveness washing over me. Every day I need his forgiveness, and I receive it. What a miracle. And I have to tell you, my love and gratitude grow with every single wave that washes over me. Yes, I still stumble and fall and sin. But I don't want to ever presume to sin. I don't ever want to flippantly say, oh, forgiveness is cheap. The well never runs dry. It's party time. Friend, God's forgiveness makes me want to obey. It makes me want to follow Jesus. In gratitude, I want to pattern my life after his. I want to do what he asks me to do. That's a natural response for one who has been forgiven as much as your friend, Lonnie Melashenko, has.
You know, Lonnie has been forgiven for a lot, and so have all the rest of us, too. God's abundant gift of forgiveness is one of the themes highlighted in Lonnie's new book, Your Most Radical Decision, which we'd like to share with you absolutely free of charge. For your complimentary copy, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And if you can, please remember to include the call letters of this station. Now, here's Lonnie Melashenko.
Tomorrow we'll be talking about obeying with a whole new attitude. Our title, Less Worried About Being Good. By the way, when you call or write for the book, Your Most Radical Decision, we want you to have it free of charge, of course. However, if you're financially able to help us out with a contribution, it always is a tremendous blessing to us. We are almost 100% supported by our radio audience, so a big thanks to each of you when you can help. By the way, tonight I'm beginning a series in Perm, Russia, right on the edge of Siberia. Please keep us in your prayers, won't you? Till tomorrow, this is Lonnie Melashenko reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
Death Valley is the hottest, driest place in North America. Out on the valley floor, the vegetation thins, then disappears. Nothing grows at the lowest depths of Death Valley. The valley floor is covered with white, poisonous salt. Yet, Death Valley keeps all of the water it receives. Nothing flows out. Up in the hills around Death Valley are hidden oases, springs surrounded by cottonwood trees, wild grapes, and cattails. Birds call and mountain sheep sneak in to drink. In these oases, the water flows in and out. It doesn't stay. I'm afraid Western society is headed toward a spiritual Death Valley. In every business transaction, every political debate, every marital disagreement, people demand their rights. They fight to hold on to their privileges. They will give nothing away. Surely, you'd be happier at home if everything went your way, right? And your church and your nation would be richer if they sent no money overseas, wouldn't they? The logic seems flawless until you look at Death Valley. The valley keeps everything that flows into it. And the water turns poisonous. The springs in the hills release water and are surrounded by life. God is looking for people who will be springs of his love, receiving in order to give away. For the Voice of Prophecy, this is John McLarty.